Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host. My co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We don't have an office. We work out of our houses. And what we try to do is help people who either have someone in their family who has a mental illness or someone they know or work with, and we do it in various ways. One of the ways we do it is we have a 12-week course called Family to Family where we go over medications and side effects of the meds and what to do, what not to do, what not to say in certain circumstances. And what we try to do is get the person taking the class to feel what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also have a support group that we have every third Thursday of the month at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it's from 7 to 8:30, and you don't have to be a member of NAMI to take the course or to come to the support group. We also have what they call a basics course, and that's for families who have children who are under the age of 18 who have mental health issues, and it is a six-week course, and it, like I said, it's for families who have someone in their family who is under the age of 18. If you have any questions or anything or want some more information about some of the programs, feel free to call 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We have a lady who checks the phone twice a day, and so we promise to get back to you. So if just leave a message and we will get back to you, we promise, within, 12, 13 hours. So if you have any questions, just dial that number, 908-284-0500. Today, we are very privileged to have with us two gentlemen. Lawrence, I use that word loosely with gentlemen, but
appreciate it.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. We have Lawrence Brooks, who's the executive director of Binnacle House, and we also have with us Bob Reichman, right?
Is that yes?
Okay, and you're the board secretary of Binnacle House, and you are a retired pharmaceutical executive, ace astronomer, from what I understand, and a former teacher in the prison system, and therefore you have a background in mental illness and education and so on and so forth. So I'd like to welcome you both here. We appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Thank you.
Lawrence, first, we talked off the, about it, but would you tell us, first of all, why the name change, or second it, or however you want to work it in, because it used to be Hunterdon Youth Services, and now it's called Binnacle House. And what is your organization, and who it helps, and why, and et cetera?
Sure. And again, thank you so much for having us back again. We really appreciate it. So Binnacle House, formerly known as Hunterdon Youth Services, has been around actually 40 years next year. We'll have our 40th anniversary. None of us can believe it's been around that long, but we have. We actually started out as an emergency shelter for both boys and girls.
Okay.
Predominantly focused on Hunterdon County youth, but we did serve youth from throughout the state, so it was a very short-term intervention. And then in 2002, we changed our service provision to be a group home, so now we primarily concentrate on adolescent males. They can be as young as 13 or as old as 21, depending on their individual circumstance. About half of our kids are what people would think of when they think of kids out of the foster care system. So in those cases, these kids have had their parental rights terminated due to abuse or neglect. And then the other half of our kids that we currently serve are really just community kids. So they can be anybody's child who is having behavioral or developmental or mental health issues and need a place to be safe to have those issues met.
Okay.
So obviously we work very closely with families whenever possible with the goal of reunifying them and having them return to their family.
Right.
In terms of the name change, maybe I'll let Mr. Reichman answer that since he chaired our coalition that worked on coming up with a new name.
Well, it was a bit of a misnomer to call us Hunterdon Youth Services since many of the youth we served came from urban communities throughout the state, Philadelphia suburbs, New York City suburbs, the Oranges, Newark. So we felt that we were creating a misconception among mm-hmm. those who might use our services, among those who might support us, that we service the entire state. So that was probably the impetus that got us going, thinking of a name change. And then going through the entire process was quite an ordeal. You know, we are not marketers, but we knew that this was key to us marketing our facility to a wider audience. And we went through a creative process with the use of some vendors and agencies that helped support us and came up with the idea of, they introduced the idea of the binnacle. A binnacle is the part of a ship, and whether that's a contemporary ship or an old sailing ship, but it is the part of the ship on the deck that has a lit a support and holder for the compass, so that at any time the captain of the ship could turn to the officer who was responsible for navigation and say, are we on course? And there could be course correction. The whole idea between the association of providing safe navigation through challenging waters was part of our message, too, because we provide tools and opportunities and new skills for our youth to learn to help master themselves the ability to go through challenging waters of life, and to know not only what skills and deficits they have, but also learn what opportunities there are to help them through their challenges.
Okay, Lawrence, how you get your students? I mean, what's the criteria, and how long can they stay?
Yeah, so I would say our average length of stay for most of our youth is about 9 months. We do have some that stay with us for a couple of years, depending on their individual circumstance, and then we have a few who only stay with us for a few months. So it really is individualized depending upon what the needs are of the youth. In terms of where they come from, it's based on the state of New Jersey now has a case management system.
Mm-hmm.
So right. You talked about NAMI being in every county, so every county has a case management organization.
Right.
So when a family identifies that their child has needs that they're not able to meet on their own, they should receive a referral to the case management organization. Generally speaking, they first try in-home counseling services. If that's not successful with the youth, then they would recommend probably a group home level of care, which is what we're considered. So when you think of a continuum of care for youth, we're sort of in the middle. So at the far end is what you would think of when you think of a psychiatric hospital. So that is sort of the deeper end for youth that need more intense active supervision with nurses on staff and psychiatrists right. on staff and that kind of thing. And then at the lower end of the continuum is the in-home services or outpatient counseling or foster homes or something of that nature. And then we're kind of in the middle as a group home. So we have a psychiatrist that we work with, but they're not on staff. We have nurses who come in and help us coordinate medication,
right.
but again, they're not on staff. Our doors are not locked. Our kids are not restrained. So if they choose to leave the program, they can. We would report them as missing, to law enforcement and go that route. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
But we really try as much as possible to be sort of that home-like community setting so that then once the kids do reunify with their home or the foster home or wherever they're going to next, they really have a sense of what it's like to be in the community as opposed to being in sort of that psychiatric type of setting.
Right.
But we do have therapists on staff, so the kids receive, individual group mm-hmm. and family therapy, as well as trained youth care workers who are our frontline staff as
right.
well.
So I have a question. During that six-month period or whenever, are they going to our local schools here, or what are they doing for education?
So, this past school year, we had an average of about 10 residents, and they went to 7 different schools.
Hmm.
I will say, I think one of the things we feel very fortunate about being here in Hunterdon County is that the school district really works well with us, and we feel very fortunate to right. have them as a partner because they do allow us to individualize it to meet the individual needs of each youth.
Right.
So probably about a third of our population actually goes to Hunterdon Central, and then the rest go to other schools based on what their IEP might dictate they need.
Okay.
And I think it's important for people to know that for kids who come from outside of Hunterdon County to our program, it's the sending district that pays for the education. So okay. It's not an added tax burden right. to Hunterdon right. County right. residents right. That we have youth from outside the county who receive the services.
Mm-hmm. And we were very happy just recently to celebrate two of our residents graduating from Hunterdon Central right. This past June. So that's always very fulfilling because completing and continuing their academic work is really what's going to help maintain their employability and marketability in the community oh. once they're finished with therapy and
right.
beyond their stay with us.
Have they only been there a few months, or how were they able? Had they been there a while?
So the two that graduated, one had been with us for well over. They both had been with us for well over a year.
Oh, okay, so they were really entrenched in that particular school.
Yes, and yeah. I will say, you know, most of our youth really do love going to Hunterdon Central when they are able to go there. They love that school.
Interesting.
And I had the opportunity to tutor one young man in chemistry and one young man in algebra, and it was touch and go right there till the end of the June period. So it really was a great celebration to get them
this,
through
this
that.
This is one of the times we're grateful for technology because we can get the reports and see in real time what the grades mm-hmm. are.
Right.
So then you're not worried at the last minute, did they pass or not pass?
Right, right, right.
And not only that, but I was able to communicate directly with their teachers, be able to log on to the school's website and download the materials the students were receiving. So I was able to stay in the loop. And not just me. We have many volunteers who come in and tutor our youth. And I should take this opportunity to welcome other volunteers in the community who are listening to us, because that is one truly fundamental way that you can witness in very short amount of time what you are doing is making a difference in these young men's lives.
We'll get to that in a minute. Okay.
Didn't want to skip it.
No, that's all right. We won't skip it. Bob, can you speak to the expansion into home counseling?
Well, as Lawrence alluded to, we had historically been only a provider of services in the home and had to appeal to the state government or through federal grant. I'm not sure which. I don't know the back end of how we were able to get ourselves certified for in-home counseling now. It greatly expands our ability to have impact on not only the local community, but all communities in the service areas that we have affiliated with.
The other thing that I think is important about that is it allows for the continuity of care when kids leave our program, because as you can imagine, you know, when a young person's been out of the home for a year or longer, the transition back into the family is disruptive to the family. Even if everybody's on board, you know, right. best case scenario. I mean, as we all know, teenagers are tough, period, right? So this our ability to provide in-home services allows us, once the child is reunified with their family, to go into the home and continue the therapy for a period of time that's needed. So it can work both ways. So if there's a young person who is just being identified as having behavioral issues, we can go into the home, work with them beforehand, so hopefully they never have to leave the home, right?
Right.
But if that's not successful and they do have to be removed and go to our program or to a psychiatric placement or whatever, we can then provide the in-home services upon their return, which we feel like is critical to the long-term success for both them and the family. And that's for boys and girls. I just want to make
right.
sure people understand.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you seem to have a really wide reach. I'm wondering how many group homes there are like this in the state of New Jersey.
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because over the last 5 years, the number of group homes in New Jersey has probably been cut in half. And, you know, there's a number of different reasons for that, I guess. And I know that you witnessed some of this, you know, happening in the adult mental health arena
sure.
with the closure of psychiatric hospitals and those kinds of things.
Right.
So, you know, the system continues to evolve to try to push more and more for kids to stay in home with services and not be removed from their home and come to programs like ours. So at last count, I think for boys and girls combined, there are maybe about 50 homes in the entire state.
And a lot of problems is because the state has been cutting the taxes and, you know, cutting revenue to, you know, the various communities. And some of the organizations have to quit what they're doing. Easter Seals, for one. Catholic Charities, they're cutting back on certain programs because they're not getting the funding for it.
And we are a very small organization. You know, we have our group home and we have this in-home counseling that we provide. So, you know, as Bob can attest as a board member, you know, we're having regular conversations about what fits into our mission, what doesn't, what is our long-term survivability strategy.
Right.
Because, you know, we do think that we're a vital resource to kids and families, and we want to continue to be that. But as you're saying, you know, funding's a key part of that. We haven't had a rate increase in almost 10 years.
Right.
So, you know, our costs continue to go up. And without people like Bob and board members and volunteers and donors, you know, continuing to support us philanthropically, we would have closed a long time
ago.
Sure,
sure. That's understandable. We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And we are very privileged to have with us today Lawrence Brooks, who's the executive director of Binnacle House, and Bob Reichman, who is the board secretary, and all that happy stuff. We were talking a little at the break, and because it's summer, middle of summer actually, Can't believe it. Half a year has gone by already. What activities do you have for your clients during the summer when there's no school?
Yeah, so I would say almost just over half of our kids actually go to summer school. So that's part of their IEP. So those are obviously heavily engaged in school activities as normal throughout the year. Then the other half of our kids, it really allows us the concentrated time to focus on life skills. So things like cooking, laundry, balancing your checkbook, those kinds of things, job skills.
Right.
We do an independent living assessment on every youth when they come in and sort of identify what are the deficient areas that they're deficient in. And then we work with them individually to improve and strengthen those specific areas. The other thing that's nice in our local community is we do have partner agencies who come in and assist and support us in providing additional programming. So, for example, right before we came to the show today, SAFE and Hunterton was there talking to us, and they're working to implement some programming related to dating and cyberbullying and some of those kinds of of essential life skills. And a lot of our youth also have jobs. We really encourage our youth whenever possible to have community employment. As we all know, working not only provides you with financial rewards, but it's so good for your mental health.
Right.
So we really work with our youth to find careers that interest them and to begin to obtain those life skills.
Just popped into my head while you were talking. You had mentioned foster care children or youth or whatever. When, who do you contact there if they're in foster care?
Well,
is it the agency or?
Well, unfortunately, I would say that for some of our youth, there really is no family, quote unquote, right? So oftentimes they have been disavowed, for lack of a better term, from the foster family. Which is why they have come to us,
right?
But I will say, whenever possible, both our staff as well as the state DIFAS workers, you know, they work to identify, so who is important in your life, right? So even if all of the family rights have been terminated, is there a teacher? Is there a coach? Is it your best friend's parents? Who is it that you had a relationship with that you want to maintain? And I will say, you know, the state and our organization more and more are becoming so much more youth-focused and youth-driven. I mean, we've talked about client-centered care for years, right? But now you really see it coming more and more into fruition so that we are able to build those relationships. So for example, most of our youth, we are able to find some place for them to spend the holidays or to do what we call a home visit, quote-unquote, with. But Larry, you know, the reality is it is a real struggle, right? And you know, for our youth, you think about on top of everything else that they're dealing with, to then have lost their family as well. And one of the young men that we're serving now, you know, his parental rights were just terminated while he was in care with us. And he just turned 14, so he went from 13 to 14, the last of the siblings to have the parental rights terminated. And needless to say, for him, that's been a real emotional roller coaster.
Sure.
And who wouldn't it be for, right?
Right.
So, you know, I mean, these are some of the realities that our youth are struggling with.
But when you get someone who's basically between placements, do they get another placement? You're not going to keep them from 14 to age 18 or something.
That's right. So generally speaking, the state DIFAS worker or the case management organizations are the ones who make the determination about the next placement. So they're the ones that are out there actively recruiting. And again, now with our IIC services, we can provide that continuity of care to make sure that that transition to whatever that new placement is successful. The other place that a lot of our youth end up at is independent living, which we haven't talked about yet. But, you know, a lot of our youth do end up in independent living or transitional living programs. And again, that's an even lower level of supervision than what we provide. but it really is teaching the youth of once you really truly are on your own, what is it like to have your own apartment and to have to pay the bills and keep the place clean and nobody's waking you up to go to school and, you know, nobody's right. taking you to work. You got to figure out your own transportation and how are you arranging all of those kinds of things. So quite a few of our youth, especially those who are in the system, you know, leave mm-hmm. us and go more into independent living or transitional
right,
living,
right.
Depending upon what their need is. And I would say that the vast majority of our youth are sort of in that 16 to 18 year age range. Oh. So even though we take younger and we can take older, depending on right. the situation, most of them really are at that 16 to 18.
Right.
And to that end, today's youth and with technology, they all have smartphones.
Right.
So they all have identities, and uniquely in the history of the home, we now have a way in which we can communicate with them in the future should they leave us. We can try mm-hmm. to survey them as to what is working with you, what successful strategies have you found, and with a private Facebook page, we can actually create a place where our alumni can
right.
maybe share successes, share pitfalls and things that they could be on the lookout for, strategies that have worked and things like that.
And I have to jump back, if I can, for a moment to the okay. summer activities, because this year we were so fortunate that Financial Resources Federal Credit Union gave us a very nice grant. So it's allowed us to do some extra things with the kids this year. So we're doing some yoga therapy, some equine therapy. We have a personal trainer who's working with some of our boys because a lot of our kids really are into the fitness-related activities.
Mm-hmm.
But even above and beyond those sort of more therapeutic things, one of the things that I think is great is some of the funding we're able to use for trips to Six Flags or Hershey's, or they went
right.
to Coney Island. For the 4th of July, they went to Hoboken to see the big fireworks on
right.
you know, the river.
Right.
And these are all kinds of things that, you know, teens tend to experience with their families. And for when they go back to school or when they're posting on social media, to be able to have some of those normalizing right. activities, you know, we feel like it's really vital
right.
for them.
I know that I have gone to, I think, two of your Christmas programs.
Yes.
And everybody seemed to get along, the kids. Now, I was just wondering, is that because it was Christmas and it was like, you know, like a big
yeah.
party or what? Or do the kids actually really interact with each other and get along?
Mix of, you know, it's a family dynamic. You
yeah.
put 10, 11, 12 teenage boys together, you're going to have some kumbaya moments and you're going to have some bumps as well.
Right.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, it tends to come and go in waves, right? You know, right now, knock on wood, we've been in a very positive wave where everybody is sort of working well
right.
together and interacting well. And then we'll go for a month where we have one or two who are very disruptive. And, you know, I think it's the normal things that you would think of that you experience in your own families, which would be things like stealing when they start, like, borrowing, as they call it, from each other and not giving it back.
Right.
Forgetting to tell someone.
Forgetting to tell somebody. Yeah. So, you know, it's those kinds of things that tend to create the hostilities amongst the youth. But for the most part, our team, the youth care workers that we have working directly with the kids, I think they do a phenomenal job of really helping to create an environment that the youth want to be a part of. And
right.
I will say, to our board's credit, I think they've been great about really helping to make sure that we have the resources that we need in order to provide the level of staffing and provide the training and other resources that we need to provide optimal
right.
programming.
Right.
Because
right.
as we all know, that's the key, right?
Right.
Now, I don't know if you mentioned this. Could you tell us approximately how many boys you have at any given time and what the level of staffing is and volunteers to work with them?
Sure. So our maximum capacity for residential is 12.
Okay.
And we average between 9 and 10 probably at any given point in time. Right now we are at 9, and we have two youth coming in the next couple of weeks. And then we have two more youth that are in our waiting list that also want to enter the program. So we anticipate being at our full capacity within the next 30 days or so.
Right.
And then in terms of staffing, The state requirement is that during waking hours that we provide one staff for every six youth. Now, generally speaking, we try to provide three staff for every six youth because we just feel like they need that additional intensity of service, and also because we really do try to get the youth in the community as much as possible.
Right,
So if we're driving people to work or taking them to doctor's appointments or whatever, you know, you need that extra body to do that. And then on the overnights, during sleeping hours, the requirement is 1 to 12. And again, we usually do 2 to 12. And again, right. From our point of view, that's if something comes up, you have an extra person there.
Extra person, right.
Or somebody calls out, you know, sick, you know, you have somebody there and you're still in ratio.
Right.
But again, our board has been really great about allowing us to do those kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, it's cost prohibitive to the organization.
Right. Sure. All right, Bob. We mentioned before about the volunteers. So could you briefly explain what the volunteers do?
Well, there are many ways in which people volunteer. Some as simple as coming in a night or two every week or two to cook a meal for our boys. Many of them look forward to those visitors because we have some staff that have some culinary skills, but some of our volunteers, they really look forward to the meals that are put on the table. We mentioned before about tutoring, another great way for volunteers to come help us. Volunteers can help us in one-time kind of situations or in continuing efforts. We've had volunteers help us plant gardens and maintain a garden or come in and work in a particular skill area with a student. Help me on
filing. We have lots of committees that we love people to serve on, like our fundraising committee. We have obviously a finance committee.
Just the other day, we had a whole day where we put out through our facilities committee that we were going to commit a whole day to work. So cleaned out the gutters, power washed the house, activities like that as well. We just had a local Boy Scout do his Eagle Scout project at the home and put in a garden that is protected from deer and damage and has a nice quiet area for the boys to, you know, maybe if they're all, if the pressure inside the house is too great, they can go sit in the garden, sit on a nice bench there and just chill for a while. So that's been great.
And Bob is the chair of our facility committee right now, and one of the things that they're really working on too is groups from the community who might be interested in doing projects. You know, we had a group that came in and they restained all of our doors. We're in an older home with beautiful woodwork, but as you can imagine, with 12 teenage boys, it gets banged up sometimes. And
you
they
think?
Came in and spent the whole day restaining things. And Bob has a whole list of projects that he's just waiting on groups to call and say, hey, we do a day of caring?
The boys have just identified heroes, if you will, that they've identified each of the four sleeping rooms in the home. One for Muhammad Ali, one for Harriet Tubman, one for Roberto Clemente, and the
Rosa
fourth
Parks,
one for wasn't Rosie Parks?
Rosa
it was,
Parks?
Roberto Clemente,
Martin Luther King,
Harriet Tubman, and whatever. So we're going to make, you know.
And Lawrence Brooks is the other one.
I wish.
Ask for donors to help us by getting reproductions of photographs. I've found some very motivating quotes from each of these individuals that we'll put on the walls. We've identified other needs that people making small contributions can help us achieve. Comfort items, those fidget bit things that, you know, hyperactive kids like to play with, comforted weighted blankets that that offer solace to those who are, you know, just keyed up. So it's whether through contributions of their time or their contributions.
And I will say we've had some volunteers, too, who just come in and play chess with the guys or a video game or whatever, you know, because, again, some of it's about that socialization.
Right.
And some of
it
is just about sort of that sort of normalcy of being able to interact with a variety of people. So, you know, I think sometimes people sit back and think, well, I don't have anything to contribute, but that's not the case.
Right.
You know, believe me, we will find something for you to do.
and it doesn't have to be material. We've gone camping with the boys. I took them up to a local place for a cookout. So It's time and attention.
Right.
And what we consider to be such normal events in family life or in growing up are what they've had huge voids in their life. So
sure.
It's really not much that can make a huge impact.
Right, right.
Well, you know, I think the other thing, too, to Bob's point is, you know, when you think about where some of our youth come from, you know, they are coming from Camden and Jersey City and other kinds of places. So to be here in Hunterdon County and experience this way of living is entirely different from anything
sure.
they've ever experienced mm-hmm. before.
Absolutely.
And I think that is so remarkable for them as well, because I can't tell you how many youth leave our program and they're like, we never knew it could be like this,
right.
you know?
They're
and how would you, right? Until you're exposed to something.
Amazed at all the green and the
right.
farms.
Right.
Do they
right.
go to see farms at all?
And
right.
We have to also remember, our boys are all different.
Yeah.
And they all bring a unique story and unique needs. I mean, we had a boy who just graduated and left us. One of the most industrious boys I know. I mean, he held two different part-time jobs. Was going on to further his schooling, you know, really.
Mm. Well, you know, you were talking about, you mentioned the farming, and it's so funny to me because, you know, you begin to realize how people don't even know where their food comes from. I mean, they didn't understand the concept of you have to grow the food, and then it gets into a can, and then it gets into the grocery store, and then you consume it. You know, they have no concept of that when they haven't been raised around
mm-hmm.
that kind of environment.
Sure. I know that you've run into some mental health issues. What type of issues have you run into? And, you know,
how do you deal with
how
it?
How do you deal with it? Right. So I guess that's my other part of the question. Thank you, Tracy.
Yeah. Yes. You have a co-host for a reason, right?
Yeah, exactly.
<It's helpful.
laughs> You know, finish my sentences when I can't. You know.
That's a partnership.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. That sounds like my wife. You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, you know, our kids have a variety of different diagnoses. About half of them really have what we would consider mental health issues that require either medication and or psychiatric care. The other half don't. And I will say one of the things I appreciate about the psychiatrist that we work with is I think she does a really good job of, when possible, trying to reduce the number and or intensity of the psychotropic medication. But she also obviously recognizes the value of it and
right.
utilizes it appropriately. But one of the things that I think programs like ours have a stereotype of is over-medicating youth, and that's one of the great things about our program is I don't see that happening at all. So in terms of diagnosis, a lot of conduct disorder, we've had some bipolar. Some of our youth are too young to receive some of the types of diagnoses that adults would receive, but we see some of the early indications of some of those things, such as schizophrenia, and even other adult diagnoses. But, you know, we have licensed therapists on staff who work with them, and then we also have youth care workers who work with them in addition to the psychiatric care that they receive. So we do individual therapy, we do family therapy, we do group therapy. And again, it really is about trying to help the youth to understand what's going on with them and what they need to do in order to maintain a healthy lifestyle for the duration of their life, right?
Right.
Because as we know, you know, depending upon what the mental health issue is, chances are it's going to be a lifelong issue. And if you can learn how to begin to cope and deal with it as an adolescent, you're that much further along in the game than trying to figure it out at 30.
Right.
And regardless of the diagnosis or the etiology of their disease, I have to applaud our home's approach to the individual. And, you know, rather than an aversive approach of controls and punishments, it's a very positive approach. It's a very, you know, trying to find the good that they're doing and see those behaviors repeated. Regardless of what meds they're on or what the problem was at home, it's this positive approach, this nurturing approach that's, I think, a very healthy approach.
And I will say, I think we are getting better and better at figuring out what are the diagnoses that we can work with and which ones can we not work with. and or, you know, where are they at in their treatment process, right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, substance abuse is one that we don't tend to take youth who have active substance abuse issues.
Right.
Because obviously we feel like they need a program that specializes in that.
Sure.
Right. We have taken youth who have completed substance abuse treatment and still need our level of care. So we would do something along those lines. And then, you know, generally speaking, we would partner with like a day top who would
right.
provide the outpatient
right.
Counseling. So again, we really try to make it individualized, but by and large, we have found that most of the psychiatric issues we can work with, mm-hmm. And as you know from your experience with your organization, so much of it is about, are they at a place where they're ready and willing to help themselves, right?
right?
Because if they're not, then there's very little that we can do. In which case, if we take them, then what ultimately tends to happen is they get referred to that higher level of care
mm-hmm.
and go into an inpatient psychiatric hospital.
Right.
Now, I have a question for sure. Lawrence. Before you were at Binnacle House, what is your background? Is it more in administration or therapy? Or can you tell us a little bit
well,
how you got into
sure,
this?
Of course. So, you know, I probably like almost anybody who pursues this line of work, I started out wanting to be the therapist. So I do have a master's degree in counseling psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have a second master's degree in business management.
Okay.
So I started out actually working with adolescent sex offenders. That was my mm-hmm. first work out of graduate school. And then from that, I worked with the local ARC organization, and I transitioned from that into working with group homes and or juvenile justice programs. And just prior to coming to Binnacle House, I was with the Alzheimer's Association.
You've got the whole gamut, practically, other than the babies.
Can't keep a job.
I'm sorry, you guys can go ahead. I assume that's a bad word, but I assume that you collaborate with other agencies.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you know, not just, you know.
Right. So, for example, Helpline is a great resource to us.
Right.
We work quite a bit with them, and certainly, you know.
Yeah, Susan Lax is pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, and let's face it, Susan knows everybody and knows everything,
yeah,
right?
So, that's
you know,
true.
She's the
right.
go-to person. You
and
know?
She lets you know she knows everything. Emily, I've known
all right, Susan,
time.
Larry said that, not yeah. Lawrence. Let's make clear if you're listening.
Yeah.
So, no, but Susan is fantastic. You know, she really, because she really has to have her hand on the pulse of everything that's
right.
happening in our community in order to know where to direct the clients that she's serving. She's been a great resource to us. So, you know, we've had some situations where one of the things that can happen in our program we haven't talked about is when a resident turns 18, if they choose to sign themselves out of our program, they can.
Right.
And the real danger in my mind for those youth is yeah. not only are they signing themselves out of our program, but they're signing themselves out of the state's sort of system of care, right?
Right.
And then if, you know, a few months, because let's face it, most of us when we're 18, we think we know it all. We do, right?
right?
And then you realize a couple months later, maybe there are some things I could use some help with. And it's very hard to get back into the state system.
Right.
So that's one of the times that Susan has really provided the safety net to those youth in being referrals.
Right.
And likewise, when she has families that are struggling, she can say, have you considered a program like Binnacle House? We talked about SAFE and some of the partnerships we've had there with Daytop. This is a little bit different than that, but the Newcomers Group took us on as their charity project this year. So they have provided us with a lot of funding and resources. And, you know, it's been really, you know, one of the things that is so cool to observe in our program is when you have just regular people who are coming in and interacting with our youth.
Right,
right. Because they are so starved for that interaction and that sense of connectedness. So some of these women have really turned into almost like surrogate mothers to some of our kids.
Right.
And they make sure they have the birthday gifts and the Buffalo mm-hmm. Wild Wings party
right,
and the
right.
this and the that. And it's just those little nurturing things that we take for granted.
Right.
And even though our kids are 16 to 18 or whatever age we talk about, you know, we know that developmentally they're stuck at 7 and 8 because they've never had all of these all right. the nurturing
exactly.
milestones right. that we're all supposed to have in order to develop into responsible adults.
Right.
We had last week, we celebrated Christmas in July with the boys.
Oh, did
and
you?
They each had got to open up stockings right. that were filled right. with gifts for them.
Right. Wow.
And I remember last Christmas in July, one of our boys got very quiet and very reserved. He said he didn't feel like he even deserved the gifts that we were giving.
Right.
So you know, it's important to provide
sure.
that family,
that's more
that
positive reinforcement
kind of
again
right.
that you're talking
environment.
About. Yeah.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple seconds.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I have a question for you, Lawrence. You have some upcoming events, okay? You have comedy night.
Yes.
You know when it is, or is that just for fun?
Are you volunteering to be the comedian this year, Larry?
Oh, I could be a comedian.
Yes, so it's October the 19th. It's a Friday night, and this is our largest fundraiser of the year, so we hope we get lots of support for it. Generally speaking, we have 2 to 3 comedians, a silent auction, and I think this year we're actually going to add a live auction as well. And usually,
October when?
October the
19th.
At Hunterdon Hills Playhouse. So very conveniently located. And I have to say, from my point of view, they do a great job. You know, you have your choice of steak or salmon or chicken or almost anything you want. And we also do an open bar for those that like to imbibe at the beginning. Some heavy hors d'oeuvres to start. And then the entree.
Wine pool.
We have a wine pool. We also do a little basket raffle, which a lot of people refer to as a tricky tray. It's not a full-blown tricky tray, so I don't, you know, if you're a diehard tricky trayer, don't come thinking you're getting that. You're not. But we have a little basket raffle. So it's really a
And what is the cost?
It's $125 a person, and that's all inclusive of everything.
And a 50-50 raffle, you can walk out of there with a couple thousand dollars, too.
Mm. How would they find out about it? What's your website?
Our website is
www.binnaclehouse.org.
All right, so let's spell binnacle because that's not easy.
BINNACLEHouse.com. .org, I'm sorry.
.org. BINNACLEHouse.org.
So
okay.
Binnacle, like B as in boy, not pinnacle.
Yes, B as in boy. You also have a raffle coming up, right?
Yeah, this is a new thing that we're going to try and do, Larry. So we're emulating some of the other nonprofits that have done something similar in the past. So we're planning to sell 300 tickets, $100 per ticket, and the grand prize is going to be $5,000 cash. So we will start selling those at Comedy Night, and then we anticipate drawing the raffle on January 27th at an event that we hope to do in January. And, you know, we think that would make some great holiday gifts, too, for people who don't know what to get. So somebody who has everything, you can buy them a chance to win $5,000. What a great gift is that, right?
So they can do this online at any point.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Or you can always call the office if you have any questions, right? 908-782-0848. 908-782-0848.
Great. Okay.
And what about the art auction?
So the art auction is again, a new thing that we're working on, that we're looking at for January 27th. So our thought is that we will do the drawing there at the art auction for the grand prize winner for the $5,000 raffle. And then we have a board member who has several connections to local artists. So we're looking at pulling together some of the more well-known artists. And we're going to have a variety of their artwork, as well as some of our other board members are working on bringing in some what I would consider more affordable to the masses kind of artwork as well. So we hope to have some high-end stuff, as well as some stuff that you can get at a reasonable price that would be more like prints and those kinds of things. So the prints would be part of a silent auction, and then the live auction would be the higher-end collectibles.
Right, right.
And we anticipate that we would do that at Hawk Point, and it's probably going to be more of a luncheon. And as we all know, the end of January, the weather can be iffy, so we're hoping that if we do it as a luncheon, there will be daylight, and the weather will work in our favor.
Right.
Great.
All right. We've got a couple minutes left. Bob? What's it like to be a board member?
Well, it's a great opportunity. First of all, it's enjoyable to make a contribution to a group that's doing good things. But more rewarding than other organizations I've been part of and other nonprofits, being able to interact with the boys, I think, is probably one of the greatest opportunities. Because they need the right kind of modeling in their lives. And it's just a rewarding interaction. So whether it be working with the public on fundraising things or working at the home with the boys or with the staff, it's a rewarding opportunity either way.
What has surprised you the most?
To see the warmth between them and, you know, amongst the boys. There was one really heartwarming thing that happened at the graduation dinner that we had just recently this past June. We were at a local hibachi chop chop restaurant, and we were sitting at these back-to-back tables enjoying our meal. And all of a sudden, within earshot, we hear a crash of dishes and a waitress behind us. But without thinking, without looking, three of our boys vaulted out of their chairs to lend assistance, and to see unprompted, unthought, reactive, it showed me that we are doing good things, that here was empiric proof that we were helping these boys on the right path, to see that kind of goodness come from, without thinking, just a reflex reaction like that. So...
And you don't think they necessarily would have been that way when they first got to you?
Who knows?
Yeah.
To think that it is what they see on a daily basis, what they're exposed to both through staff and the interactions with the public, what and how they're growing and progressing.
Right.
So,
right.
I'm always the thorn in the side of our organization, trying to find opportunities to measure how impactful we are in these boys' lives in changing the arc of their lives. And it's little things like that that really help reconfirm
right.
that we're doing the right thing.
Right. Well, that's the way I feel sometimes. You know, you deal with all these issues and people with problems that, you know, you look back and you say to you, my wife and I said, well, boy, we were lucky. Yeah, you know, compared to what, you know, our son never did drugs and didn't drink and stuff like that. But so it didn't combine with the mental health issue, you know, that sort of thing. You have a task force, from what I understand, for ending youth homelessness.
Yes. So,
could you speak to that a little
yes,
bit?
Yes, thank you. So we joined the local Tri-County Continuum of Care.
Okay.
So what that organization or body does is that's the group that really draws down from the federal government money for homelessness and housing and those kinds of things. So I was fortunate enough to join that group, and specifically we're looking at how do we end youth homelessness, right? Because one of the things that happens both with youth who come out of sometimes the foster care system as well as young adults who get involved in domestic violence situations
right.
and other kinds of things is many of them end up homeless. So we're really starting to look at, you know, what is the level of need in our community and how can we collectively as a group fill that void? You know, one of the things that's so nice about being part of this community is we're dealing with numbers that are manageable, right? So we're not the Camdens or the Newarks or wherever. We're talking right. about thousands of people. You know, we're talking about 50 to 100 youth. Well, that's fixable, right? So one of the things that we're looking for is it's a fairly new group. So anybody who's interested in being a part of that, feel free to call me at the office at 908-782-0848. 908-782-0848, or you can email me at lbrooks@huntertonyouthservices.org. lbrooks@huntertonyouthservices.org. We'd love to get more community involvement in that.
Right. I can't thank you guys enough for taking the time out of your schedule to come. You know, I think the work you're doing is wonderful. I find it great that you're doing it. I just think it's a shame that we have kids in this situation that need this. You know, of course, you guys would be out of a job if you didn't do it. But only kidding. But seriously, you know, to have kids in this type of situation is tough. You know, and I think that it's great to have an organization like yours who try to help them and get them through life and.
Well, we are so appreciative of you having us again, and you know, I hope you know how much allowing us a forum to talk about what we do and to engage others is so meaningful and beneficial to us. So, thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely,
you're
welcome.
Quite welcome, and we do appreciate it.
Yes.
And we'll have to have you back on again.
Thank
you for coming.
You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, folks, and we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. But remember, mental health really does matter.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hey. USA Radio News.
Today at the White House, President Trump was holding a joint news conference with Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte. The president, in his opening remarks, so again, doubled down on his comments regarding our border wall and a government shutdown.
If we don't get border security, after many, many years of talk within the United States, I would have no problem doing a shutdown. It's time we had proper border security. We're the laughingstock of the world. We have the worst immigration laws anywhere in the world.
President Trump did say he would be willing to negotiate his plan, though, for the border wall. Senator Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All plan would boost government health spending by $32.6 trillion over 10 years, requiring historic tax hikes. The study was done by the Mercatus Center at George Mason University in Northern Virginia. This is USA Radio News.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA.